Successful AI requires the right data and an understanding of the AI value chain and the data value chain. Here to explain these topics is Mike Capone, the CEO of Qlik.
People know us as a leading provider of data integration and analytics tools, and that's certainly true. But we like to think of ourselves having a much broader mission to help organizations transform data, the data they have access to, into actionable insights that can help them grow their business. And we honestly believe that data analytics and AI should underpin every single decision that you make, every single operational decision, every single strategic decision. And our capabilities are what bring that to life for our customers.
Mike, you were a chief information officer in your past life. How does that affect your work at Qlik?
Two things. I really understood what it's like to be on that side of the equation, being somebody who's trying to deliver value for my company through technology and dealing with providers, partners who are helping me do that. That experience working at ADP, a really large data processing company, in fact, that's the name, taught me how data can be such a strategic asset to a company and how harnessing that information can really provide strategic advantage, as it did back when I was at ADP. Of course, it also taught me how hard it was to actually get the results.
Mike, when you talk about strategic decision-making through data, that is a crucial part of the broader AI value chain. Tell us what that is and what are the components?
AI value chain is just a name for the end-to-end process to capture, to curate, to catalog, prove the veracity of data, and get it ready for AI and analytics, and then analyze it and then apply modern AI capabilities. It's that sequence of events that comprises the AI value chain. Data is the crucial part of the AI value chain. Everything starts there. And I think the problem with all the hype going on right now is everybody wants to just jump to the end. It's like, okay, I can plug in ChatGPT and all my problems are solved, right? And we just know that's not true. It all starts with data and harnessing that data and getting it into an analytics and AI ready format, which is really hard work. And when you think about the data component of it and the value chain around data, for example, it starts with data capture, the ability to harness data from disparate systems everywhere, whether you own them or not, but certainly ERP systems, cloud systems, mainframes, wherever that data may be, you have to harness that. We call it capture data. More and more, that has to be real time. Yesterday's data, last hour's data, it's just not good enough anymore. You need up-to-date information. Then you need to work with that data to improve the quality of it, to make sure you feel really good about the veracity, the quality of it. You have to capture the lineage of the data. You also have to remember where that data came from as you move forward in the AI value chain. And then, of course, you move on to the ability to catalog it, curate it, and then finally analyze it, get insights, apply modern AI capabilities to it. And then last but not least, as we move further up the value chain, once you've done that, is then do something with it, right? There's a lot of C-level executives who tell me, even when we get the answer, we don't know what to do with it. So how do you actually take all the insights you get and then automate that and force a decision inside your company, force an action? That comprises the entire value chain.
Why is the AI value chain so important for business and technology leaders to really understand?
It is the most fundamental question. As we move into the next era, which is really going to be AI driven, the ability to actually understand what drives value in AI. Value is derived from the underlying data. So making sure your AI value chain is robust and delivers the quality and the veracity of the data at the velocity at which you need it is fundamental to everything that comes after that in the world of AI.
Mike, this concept of the AI value chain is so fundamentally important. To what extent do technology leaders and business leaders really have a grasp of that value chain inside their own organizations?
If you asked me that a year ago, I probably would have given you a very different answer because everybody was caught up in the hype of AI and just doing something. Fast forward to now when people are being much more thoughtful. So the good news is most of the C-level executives I'm talking to everywhere in every industry and every sector are talking about the AI value chain. They're understanding more and more that we really need to do the work to build this robust foundation, this value chain, to be ready for our organization to truly embrace and gain the benefits of AI.
So there is an increasing organizational maturity in the market around understanding this AI value chain.
There is absolutely a maturity happening right now. In some industries, it's happening faster than others. But I think now that we're a year into this cycle, people are being much more thoughtful and saying, look, I need to take a step back and I really need to focus on the foundation. And that foundation is the AI value chain that we've been talking about.
Mike, you emphasize the importance of data. There's also a data value chain. What is that? And how does that fit in with AI and the AI value chain?
They're inextricably linked, but they're not exactly the same thing. The data value chain, which is the ability to actually harness data, understand where all of your data is in real time, that underpins a lot. It underpins your AI strategy for sure, but it also underpins your application modernization strategy. It often very much underpins your day-to-day transaction processing. So that's really, really important and foundational, but you do need to do both. You do need to focus on the data and then focus on your AI strategy.
Let me ask the proverbial question. Which comes first, the AI value chain or the data value chain?
There's no question the data value chain comes first. Look, neither one of these is new. I was working on AI when I was in college some ungodly amount of years ago. This is not new. What's new, Michael, is the capabilities we have, the unlimited computing power we have now through cloud computing, through the hyperscalers. What's new is the advances we made in algorithms and technology. So now we're able to do more things, but the foundation has always been data. Now we're just layering AI on top.
When it comes to the data value chain, can you give us a high-level view of the strategy to really understand the value chain and implement that data value chain in our own organizations?
Everyone wants to start with the data itself, and that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. You really need to understand the fundamentals of your business and what are the drivers of your business and what strategic and operational decisions do you really need to make? More importantly, do you need to improve? Where is the leverage in your business and what decisions can you make better informed by data and artificial intelligence? That is an exercise unto itself. Once you do that, then you can work your way back and understand, okay, what data needs to underpin the strategic decision-making, this operational decision-making? And then how do I harness that data, get it AI ready, and get it into a state where it can apply these modern capabilities and get accurate results? Because the reality is, once you decide what those decisions are, making sure that you have curated quality data underneath it is going to be critical, because otherwise you'll end up making bad decisions based on bad foundations.
Can you elaborate on that? You said curated and quality data.
We've all seen what's going on in the market right now. They have all different terms right now, right? Hallucinations, model drift. These are bad outcomes you get because you didn't take the time up front to understand the underlying data in your AI landscape. And really, what we tell customers to focus on is making sure that that foundation is 100% correct and reliable.
You talk with so many folks across different industries. What are the challenges, the patterns that you see that present obstacles to really having a clear understanding of the right kind of data and ensuring that that data has a sufficient level of quality?
Everybody knows that the data that goes into the operational systems isn't always of the highest quality, right? That needs to be addressed, and that's a pretty heavy lift very often. The second thing, honestly, is cost. People are starting to get the first anniversary bills from their cloud data lake providers. And suddenly they're realizing, like, how do I build a data landscape that isn't going to bankrupt my company? And that's really a data fabric discussion where you talk about, okay, what data do I need to move? What data can I leave in place or take parts of? What is the frequency of movement, et cetera? So really getting your arms around that is going to be super critical. And then the last piece, obviously, is what do I do with this information? And what are my risks? What if I apply this technology and it produces some bad outcome that puts my company in jeopardy? How do I manage and mitigate that risk? How do I weigh it, measure it? Those are all the conversations that are going on right now. And if you're a CIO, it's a hard place to be, right? But never have you been more important to your organization than right now in terms of making sure we get this right.
Mike, you've given a broad overview of the kind of challenges that organizations face with looking at their data, curating the data, and going through the quality process. Where do companies get stuck? Where are the pitfalls?
not actually having an underpinning strategy, right? Every business unit, every person in the company kind of has their own data and analytics strategy. The data is not governed, harnessed. There has to be centralized governance. That doesn't mean that IT is command and control and holding on to everything. On the contrary, you have to democratize the data, but you have to build a governance structure that can ensure the veracity, the quality of the data across the enterprise. And the pitfall is, if you don't convince people, if you don't help them understand why that is necessary, you're really going to struggle to win the hearts and minds of people.
Is there a linkage between the kinds of governance structures that organizations put in place and their underlying data infrastructure? How do these intersect?
The technology that you deploy needs to support your data governance strategy. The capabilities inside of the technology needs to deploy the change data capture, the data quality mechanisms that you use and the tools you're using to curate and catalog your data and transform your data. They have to have governance capabilities built into them. It's super important. And it's something that, you know, we build into all of our products all along the chain. And I think that's absolutely critical. If you're just moving data around without any quality checks or any governance, in the long run, you're getting a lot of trouble because you're basically going to wind up with a free-for-all of data that nobody is controlling the quality of.
Mike, you're describing a set of technology capabilities and a set of what we might call organizational capabilities. Both need to come together in order to develop an effective data strategy. What have you seen at your customers when it comes to this issue?
There's a whole group of constituents that are terrified of what AI is going to do to their function inside of a company. Worry is never good when you're trying to implement change. That's why it's super critical to have the cultural aspects and the cultural dimensions of a data strategy along with the technology. In many cases, technology is easier, right? Because you can implement the technology. What's not easy is getting people to buy into, okay, we're going to harness this data. There are a set of series of disciplines and processes we're going to need to implement in governance that everybody has to come along with so we can ensure that our foundation of data is correct. So then when we deploy AI to help you be more effective in your jobs, we know that the data can be trusted and the output from these kind of modern tools, these modern AI tools, it's going to be accurate and correct.
You've mentioned this term trust several times. Why is that so foundationally important?
The reality is AI has huge potential. It's also fraught with risks. But if we deploy AI correctly and we get people to trust AI by first getting data that people can trust that's validated and ready, and then showing that when you do that heavy lifting around the data, and then you apply the tools, the outcomes are much better, then you absolutely can earn people's trust. And then there's a second component of this, which is also have to get people to be data literate, right? We spent a lot of time at Qlik talking about this concept of data literacy. And that's the ability to get people comfortable with working with data, because working with data today and tomorrow is going to be as important to the new economy as reading and writing was when we came out of the Industrial Revolution, right? Reading, understanding, questioning data and outputs of data, that skill has to be taught as well. Only then can you start to build a culture where people can trust data because they know how to ask questions.
You raise a very interesting point. We typically think of data as being this highly technology-driven topic with infrastructure and data lakes and so forth. But you've just made a direct linkage to overall corporate brand reputation and this highly technical data subject.
Bad practices in this area can really lead to bad outcomes. And the technology is advancing so fast that you cannot possibly legislate this stuff. So some of the people in the private sector, both providers like Qlik, but also, you know, executives inside of companies deploying AI to actually forge the trail. We actually have built a council inside of Qlik of outside industry experts to advise us on responsible AI and how you can deploy it and not run into some of the ethical and moral and reputational things that you just described, Michael. It's really, really important. And in fact, you know, I was on with White House advisors a couple of weeks ago, and they were asking the same thing. How should we be engaging the private sector to govern AI, to talk about AI, to be responsible about AI? It's something we're all wrestling with. But what I do know for sure is those of us in positions to have influence have a pretty awesome responsibility right now.
Mike, you mentioned the Qlik AI Council. Tell us about that. That's really interesting.
We wanted to make sure that we were not being overly insular about our deployment of AI, both internally, but more importantly, with our customers. So, you know, we have an executive advisory board made up of really important customers, which helps us quite a bit. But we wanted to go further. So we actually solicited a series of experts and built what we call our AI Council. Those are folks from industry, from academia, from various parts of the world. There's actually four really talented individuals who actually advise Qlik on our AI strategy and how we make sure that we're building responsible AI, moral AI, as we move forward on our journey.
Mike, you're describing AI at so many different levels, the AI value chain, the data value chain, the technology infrastructure, responsible and ethical use of AI. How should CIOs manage this?
They really need to invest the time and take a step back. That was the thing that had me unnerved a year ago, was everybody was scrambling. And by the way, vendors weren't helping, right? Because vendors were making claims about what they could do, what they couldn't do. There's a lot of press releases about this capability, that capability. So it created this frenzy. And then of course, boards were also not helping, right? Because they were putting pressure. The good news is everybody's taking a breath. I think that phase of overhype is over. And now people are saying, all right, let me be thoughtful about this. And that's the key. You got to be thoughtful about it. We're all running 100 miles an hour. Take a step back. Take time to understand and learn. Continuous learning is a huge part of being a successful executive. Not enough of us do it. My technique is to actually solicit, like our AI Council, or solicit expert opinions. Try to just talk to as many people as I can. And sure, read as much as I can, et cetera. And what I found is peer networks are great because everybody's going through the same thing. Everybody's apprehensive about how to get their arms around this. And so the ability to actually take the time to do that is going to be really critical for anybody's success, but particularly CIOs.
Mike, any thoughts on how CIOs should balance the technology dimensions of all of this versus the organizational, the cultural aspects?
In the beginning, I think you actually have to overweight the cultural aspects of it too. Any technology deployment is going to fail if the organization's not ready for it. You can't just jam technology down the throats of a business. So I think having that cohesive strategy, like I said, the data strategy and the AI strategy, it's not a CIO strategy, it's a company strategy. It's going to impact every decision, every process that you make inside of a company. It should, if you're doing it right. And it's going to be a big part of the future. So getting that executive buy-in and then the layers of the organization on board almost has to be overweight in the beginning. And then once you get that foundation, then you run as fast as you can to make sure technology is in place. In the interim, you need to be building proof of concepts. You need to be experimenting. You need to be all the things you would expect a good CIO to be doing. But what you don't want to do is rush ahead with the technology and ignore what is going to be a massive change management and cultural impact.
So on the surface, AI deployment looks like a technology problem fundamentally, but what you're saying is that in reality, underneath, it's actually a business challenge that is expressed through various technologies and implementation processes and so forth.
That's right. And there's really two dimensions of the business process. The first is what's possible? What parts of our business can really be empowered, enabled by AI beyond the normal sort of decision making? Well, what can we do to make our company more effective? And then, of course, how do you build back from that? But the second is the moral aspect to it, too. It's like just because we can doesn't mean we should. How do we use customer data? How do we use technologies like facial recognition? Companies have gotten out in front of some of these things with great technology, but there was really no governance.
You're advocating a highly strategic approach that relies on deep understanding of the business goals, gaining consensus across the organization, and a clear understanding of the data and how that data will ultimately be used and what will the outcomes be.
I'm not advocating a mother may I approach where you say like, hey, we want to do AI. Everybody good? We up for it? The CEO has to be very directive, meaning we're going down this journey. What I need is everybody to participate in the strategy and the execution to make sure that we do things correctly, both for us, for our customers, as well as for the organization itself. That's the way to do this. It requires top-down conviction to go down the journey. And, you know, everybody can have veto power, but everybody can have at least be heard, you know, in this process. And I think that's the kind of governance framework you need to build.
So the governance framework is based on a broad strategy, but then you drill into the data strategy, which really must form the underpinning of any successful AI effort.
That's absolutely true. AI is just a given, right? It's a given in everything we do, but it's like, okay, now where do we get the most leverage? And are we sure that the road we're going down is one that we think A, will make us successful, but B, will make us feel, you know, morally okay in terms of how we're going about it. We have 40,000 customers. We have a much larger obligation, which is how do we help our customers get to those decision points for themselves and provide the governance framework and the tools and the capabilities to make them as successful as they can be with the parameters that they want to apply to this.
Mike, AI is changing so rapidly. Where do you see things headed over the course of this next year?
We're going to continue to mature. We're going to continue to get a little bit more grounded. We're going to have to slow down before we go faster again. The good news is everything that you and I are talking about, Michael, right now is necessary no matter what. You don't need to guess what the next cool AI tool is going to be, how LLMs are going to evolve, to know that you got to get your data house in order, that you have to build the data value chain that will ultimately underpin all of this. And it's not just structured data anymore, right? It's unstructured data. It's all the capabilities that you need to be building. So I think the good news is you can make lots of progress, and you can also, you know, keep a close eye on what's happening in the market and watch as things unfold, because the capabilities are going to continue to morph and grow, but you don't have to jump on every shiny object that comes out these days. If you wait long enough, it'll change.
Tell us how Qlik supports the data strategies you've been describing.
Qlik supports all of our customers. We're really the only ones who have an end-to-end solution for both the data value chain and the AI value chain. When you think about it, everything from change data capture at high velocity in real time, all the way through data quality, data transformation, curation, catalog. And then, you know, we've always been known for our powerful analytics platform, right? The Qlik Sense, which has been around for 30 years. And then we have modern AI capabilities built into our platform. Yet we also interact with every possible computing solution out there, every cloud provider, et cetera. We're agnostic when it comes to who we work with. And I think that's what companies want. And then the last thing we bring is we bring automation capabilities. So it's great to get the answer. It's even better to actually do something with it. Once you know what to do, go do it. And you can do that through automation, which is something we provide to our customers. So that sort of end-to-end vision, which we started building 5 years ago. I've been getting ready for this moment for 5 years when we saw this coming. It's about the data, stupid, was what we were saying back then. And that's what we tried to build coming into this year. We really feel like we've got it.
Successful AI is all about the data.
I think that's 100% right. Without the data, nothing else matters.
And with that, Mike Capone, CEO of Qlik, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, Michael, it's a great pleasure. It's great to be talking to you again.